Last Sunday, five of us gathered together in the Pathfinder Sunday School room to talk about this passage of Scripture. And we had some intriguing insights and questions that came up. One of the things we noticed was that Jesus was moved with compassion, that he had compassion on the people. And that's the main focus of what I want to say this morning. But several questions came up that I promised to address as well. And one of the questions that came up was, why would Jesus tell his disciples to go only to the lost sheep of Israel? Isn't the good news for all peoples? Good question. Remember that in Matthew, we're looking at the very beginning of the story. The first part of Matthew. When we look at the end of Matthew, that's when we see to go to the whole world. But why would Jesus tell his disciples to go to the lost sheep of Israel? Well, notice, why was Jesus moved with compassion? Because he saw the people were like harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And these are people who have been given the word of God. These people of Israel, these chosen people, need to be reminded of the love of God for them. So start there, and you can grow from there. And besides, it's where you might have the most ready reception for disciples who are new to this. Go to people that you know. But another question came up. Look how Jesus is on the move. Towns and villages here and there, the disciples going there. How did they gain access? How could they be in all these different places? Well, in their day, in their culture, hospitality was a very high value because most people needed to stay in homes, and even inns were often extensions of a person's home. And so people were welcomed. Strangers were often seen as a messenger from God. And who, if you're a synagogue Sunday school, so to speak, Sunday Sabbath teacher, who doesn't like a guest every once in a while to share some new perspectives? So it's not unusual that Jesus and his disciples would have opportunity in these various towns and villages. But perhaps the question that came up that pressed the hardest was, why would Jesus tell his disciples to raise the dead? Really? Did Jesus expect any of his disciples to actually raise the dead? Well, this could take the rest of my sermon, but it won't, I promise. But I did learn some interesting things even about Zion with that question. But here we go. Jesus did not make raising the dead a big part of his ministry. There are actually three stories. We have them, two of them in Matthew. Can anybody tell one person Jesus raised from the dead? Lazarus. That's the one we think of first, and that's in the Gospel of John. But he also, well, last Sunday, Seth talked about one of them. Yeah, the synagogue ruler's daughter, Jairus, he's called in the Gospel of Mark. And he also raised, and Luke tells us about this, where he was walking along the road and here he saw a funeral procession, a widow from Nain, and her son had died and he had compassion and he healed and raised that son. Let's not call these resurrections, let's call them resuscitations, because everybody knows these people are going to die again. Now, there are two examples in the book of Acts, not in the Gospels, but in the book of Acts, where disciples of Jesus raised the dead. One was the disciple Peter in the town of Joppa. He raised Dorcas, or her name, she's also called Tabitha, from the dead. And later, the apostle Paul, who was not one of the 12, he was preaching way too long, late at night. They're in the second floor of the building, and the little guy named, or a man named Eutychus, a young man, is sitting in the window. What do people do when sermons get long? Yeah, that's what he did. He fell asleep and he fell out the window. And anyhow, it says that they picked him up for dead, but Paul went down and hugged him and he raised him to life. And then you'd have thought he'd have ended the sermon there. He kept right on going. Like almost till daylight. Okay, we don't do that anymore. So my point here is that there aren't many stories of disciples of Jesus raising the dead. This is not a big part of the ministry of Jesus or of what he instructed his disciples to do. Now, there are stories from what we call the church fathers in the days following the book of Acts, where people were raised from the dead. And even in the century since that, there have been stories, some of them. And do you know there are schools of ministry today that teach their students to go regularly and pray for people to be raised from the dead, even to go to funerals? Yeah, I visited one of those schools. But if most of the time those kind of prayers are to show the power of faith or to test people's faith, and I would just say, in keeping with the main subject of this message this morning, that when the love of power is greater than the power of love, there's going to be more harm than good. That Jesus raised people out of deep compassion for their situation, weeping, not to show off his power. But back to this idea of compassion. When Jesus came into this place, it says he saw the crowds and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, I notice this is not the first time, or I should say, not the only time in Matthew when we are told that Jesus specifically had compassion. And both two of the times are when he saw crowds. We have those stories in Matthew 14 and 15. And in both of those cases, you had people coming from all over to bring their sick, to bring those who had leprosy, to bring the various diseases, and he healed them. And after several days, it says he was moved with compassion because there's no way he could deal with all these people. And here they are hungry. They've been with me for 3 days. And so he fed them, 5,000 on one occasion, 4,000 on another. He would move with compassion for these people. Thanks, Patty, for defining for us what compassion means. It's really when we feel alongside someone. Often, actually, the Greek word that speaks of this is a fascinating word. It talks about your guts. Like, yeah, you're moved in your guts. You feel it. It's not just in your head. Like, I know I should feel sorry for this person. No, you feel it inside, deep. Something should be done. And so compassion is often not just feeling, but the desire to do what can be done to relieve someone else's suffering, to give them that Band-Aid, right? Or whatever is needed. Sometimes a kind word or a touch. Jesus wasn't just compassionate for crowds. On a couple of occasions, we have stories of how someone who was blind was brought to him or shouted after him, and he was moved with compassion and touched them and healed them. So what I see in this idea of compassion with Jesus is simply this. When Jesus saw need, his first response was compassion. And that seems to stand in contrast to what you see as Jewish leaders as they're portrayed in the Gospels. The first response is, get your act together and maybe you'll be okay. Or, who sinned? The first question, ritual purity, or what went wrong here? Whereas Jesus' first response is compassion, caring with. And he did, more than once, say, go and don't sin anymore. The order of things is very important here, to sense God's love. Notice that Jesus told his disciples in this passage of scripture we heard read to go out and preach, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Ask the man in Matthew 8 who came up to Jesus what it's like for the kingdom of heaven to come near. Jesus has just come down from preaching this Sermon on the Mount, and a man with leprosy comes to him and kneels down in front of Jesus and says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And it says that Jesus reached out and he touched the man and said, I'm willing, be clean. This leper, I'll call him a man with leprosy, this man with leprosy was used to the rules. When he walks into any place, he has to say, unclean, 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 as a warning. So when he's on walking toward person, they go to the other side of the road. If he's in a crowd, they disperse. Nobody is to touch this man. There's too much danger. And what did Jesus do? He reached out and touched him. That is a deep lesson in compassion. Compassion often involves God's kingdom coming right up close and personal, so you can touch it, you can feel it. It's God with a hand, a heart of compassion. Now, there are other kinds of touch. We know that. We might shrink away from touch, possessive touch that wants to push us around, control us, or even abuse us. But compassionate touch is one that brings the reign of God right into our neighborhood and right into our personal space to care for us, what we need. Now, Jesus was moved by compassion and saw there's no way that he could ever do all that needed to be done. So he called these 12 and he sent them out. Now, he didn't say the words, go and show compassion. What he did show to them was, you do what you've seen me do. And that's the motivation. And that's the call for us today. Now, I see Zion Mennonite Church as a very compassionate congregation, especially in compassionate ministries. The teaching of Christ has led to the beginning of many ministries around the world designed specifically for compassion. They might even have compassion in the name. We're most familiar in the Mennonite Church with Mennonite Central Committee or Mennonite Disaster Service, where we are moved deeply by the pictures we see of people who are hungry, people who don't have access to clean water, people who are poor, people who've lost their homes or lost everything in some, what we might call, a natural disaster. This morning, I just want to focus here yet for a few minutes on an even more personal dimension. In compassion ministries, we often give and sometimes volunteer. But I want to speak about the personal dimension of compassion as well in this way. How have you been touched by compassion? What is your call to compassion? When I think about compassion shown to me, my mind nearly always goes back, well, almost 70 years. When our family lost a father, and the compassion that people in family and church and community demonstrated to our family by caring for us at a time of deep need. But I've experienced compassion in much more recent times as well. One of the first things that came to mind was one Sunday morning about 3 years ago. Yes, I was to be in the online service at Zion Mennonite Church, and I was in the hospital. And in that particular morning, a nurse took some extra time to help me with grooming. Woo! I've never had that happen before. But not just because, here's what I'm trying to say, not just because she was a nurse or on duty, but because I sense a compassion for her, from her, in my situation. And I've heard, probably received the compassion of people through personal notes and cards after the death of our son Daniel. Stacks of cards. And not just that they were cards, but the things that people wanted to say. And not just what people said, but what they wished they knew what to say. We even had a card which had a circle in it. It's just blank, but I like a little arrow. I don't know what to say. But that itself was a compassionate response. When it comes to the call to compassion, I feel it in different kinds of ways, certainly toward compassion ministries, but in very personal ways. Like the man, I get a call, this man needs to go to work. He's trying to change the oil in his car. He doesn't have the ramps he needs to get it changed. This man's in a trailer park and has a hard, he's struggling. Yes, I'll take him some ramps. I have a couple ramps to change oil. Well, as you can imagine, it got a lot more complicated than just ramps. But the story ended up with, I think, a man getting off to work and feeling like someone had touched him for the reign of God. Or I get the call for a recent widow who needs work done in the apartment, work done in their house. Yes, I can repair these kinds of things. And yes, sometimes that gets more complicated too with the things you want to do. But that's where the reign of God becomes close and personal, touches people. And yes, the latest, could you help an elderly woman who's homeless at the moment? She can't find a place to stay. Yes, we have a guest room. So I leave you with the question, where have you experienced compassion, the compassionate touch of those who were disciples of Christ, or perhaps those who were not? And how have you shown yourself compassion? Sometimes that's where we need to start, to show ourselves the compassion instead of flagellating ourselves or criticizing ourselves. Say, take a break and just sense the love of God for who you are as you are. And then, what do you experience today as the call of God to show compassion to others? Let's join in prayer as you ponder that question. Loving God, our lives have been deeply shaped by the stories of Jesus, the very face of God, showing up in the world to show the compassion that you have for the whole world, beginning with Israel in their place. Open our hearts, Lord, to receive your compassion, often expressed through the caring touch of others. Open our hearts, Lord, to even love ourselves with the love you have shown to us, to show ourselves the compassion we need during hard times. And open up our heart, Lord, to show compassion to others as you move us by your Holy Spirit. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.